ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You know, as much as I complained about the snow we had the other day, wasn't it beautiful? I'm kind of upset because there's still leaves on my trees. I still got to deal with that. But man, you look at that. You look at the beauty of nature. Isn't it logical to worship the one who's created all these things? It just makes sense. It's reasonable. It's logical. And really, total commitment to the Lord. Joshua challenged them by saying, look, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I like that about Joshua. Hey, you guys got to choose who you're going to serve. But you know what? What you do is not going to influence me. I've already made my decision. It's a logical decision. It's a reasonable decision. I'm going to serve the Lord. But you have a choice to make now. And I hope I'm encouraging you to follow the Lord. That's what he's doing. He doesn't tell them, you guys go home and think about this. Let me know the conclusion you come to. No. Choose this day whom you will serve. Why? Because they're already aware of what God has done. So now it's just logical to follow the Lord. You got to decide. And for Joshua, you think, well, who gave him the right to challenge him like that? Well, his life was a living testimony of someone who surrendered his life to the Lord. And he lived what he said he believed. Was he a perfect man? No, because he was a man. But he loved the Lord. And his life illustrated that point. How about us? We've made that commitment to the Lord, and that's really given us the right to testify of him, to challenge people, to think about the Lord. And what a great thing to do. How do you think all this stuff came together? How do you think everything, you know, this, we got all these trees and, you know, animals and birds and fish and people. How did that just happen by random chance happening? Can you explain that to me? I'm just curious. They can't. Evolution is based on faith. There is zero evidence for evolution from one species to another. Oh, you have different types of birds and dogs and things like that. But they're still dogs or birds or whatever. But that's it. So you challenge people. Who gives me the right to challenge people like that? God does, because he's worked in me, and now he's told me, you go share that with others. We have the right to testify of our faith. The challenge, I guess, for us, are we going to show our family, our friends, our coworkers, and even strangers that we're going to serve the Lord no matter what? Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That was a commitment that he made. That's what we need to do. You see, are we going to let others influence how we respond? Are we going to let this person or that person, what they're doing, influence us? No. Our passion is to serve the Lord no matter what. And people will follow our example, what we're showing them. You know, I shared with you many times before, you know, when I worked at the hospital and the doctor's office, when the nurses would come around and they'd have a joke to tell that was off color, when they saw me, they either wouldn't tell the joke or they would say, Joe, you probably shouldn't listen to this one. You should make an influence in people's lives. And my heart's desire was to make them uncomfortable so they didn't tell the joke. But boy, I pray we're like Joshua. you guys do whatever you want, but for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I am not going to let anyone discourage me or lead me away from that. And what did the people say? You know, far be it from us, we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Now, I find it interesting, as they probably had their little idols all around them or whatever, you know. They said they wanted to serve the Lord. They wanted to make a commitment. Sometimes when you hear someone speak with passion, it affects you emotionally. Joshua didn't want this to be an emotional response. He wanted it to be a response from the heart that they made a commitment to God. Not just something that was emotional, you know, like a football game. You're excited, it's fun, you're cheering and screaming, and then the game's over and what? Now you're doing whatever. The motion's gone. No, this is a different type of commitment. It's beyond emotion. It's a commitment to God that's with us wherever we go, whatever we do. Obeying what God has said. And for Joshua, get rid of those idols, he's telling them. If you made a commitment to God, you got to change. So the second point, confrontation with commitment, making the choice to serve. And they said they were going to serve the Lord. Isn't that great? When you hear someone like that, oh, we're going to serve the Lord. Praise God. You're excited, right? Joshua wasn't. You think they would have all gone home with joy in their hearts, but that's not what happened. And our third point, authentication of commitment, counting the cost. Look at verse 19 in Joshua 24. We're told this. But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. For if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Now, therefore, he said, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." In other words, Joshua is basically saying, you know, you can't serve the Lord like you're doing right now. You can't serve the Lord half-heartedly. You can't serve the Lord and the gods of this world as well. You have to choose one or the other. You can't serve two masters. Why? Because Joshua said that he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He's not going to forgive your transgressions or your sins. And what I find interesting here is that it almost seems like Joshua is trying to discourage them from following the Lord. And really, if you think about it, he is. He really is. And I know that's kind of shocking. What do you mean he's discouraging? Well, he's saying, look, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord and think that you're going to walk with God. It doesn't work that way. In fact, what's going to happen is you're going to be drawn right back into the world. Because the world has a tremendous pull on us. And Joshua just wants them to understand, look, before you make your decision, don't make this an emotional one. Make it a logical decision and then live accordingly. But if you can't do that, don't follow the Lord. Don't bother doing it. Count the cost. And I think the same is true for us. We have to count the cost of becoming a Christian. You know, too often the gospel message is presented something like this. Oh, you know, you need Jesus, and if you come to him, your life will be perfect. You're not going to have any problems anymore. I don't know what kind of world they're living in. I have probably more problems today as a Christian than I ever had before. Why? Because the devil doesn't like what I'm doing. I'll tell you what, if you never have any conflicts in your life, you have to wonder, what are you doing for the Lord, right? Because the enemy hates what you're doing. He can't take away your salvation, but he can destroy your witness. And he doesn't want you to witness a Jesus. Why? Because he wants all the glory. And really, if you think about it, the gospel is so simple. It's not complicated. I know of people that try to make these things so complicated, but a child can understand the gospel message. I'm a sinner. My sins have separated me from God. There is nothing I can do to fix that problem on my own. Being good doesn't negate the bad. That's not how it works. Because God demands perfection. So how does God reconcile this? Because God can't just ignore my sins, because that would make him unrighteous. Because I am a sinner and I'm guilty, and thus I deserve death. So what does he do? He becomes flesh, goes to the cross of Calvary to pay in full the penalty for our sins. He's paid the cost for me. He took what was owed me, what was owed you, and paid it in full. That was his cry. It's finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. All of my sins. I like, you know, the way Paul puts it. You know, a hopeless situation, but God. Hopeless from my perspective, nothing I can do, but God can. And that's what Paul said in Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. A totally free gift, not of works, because we would boast about how good we are, and that's why we're in heaven. Simple as that. He paid it in full. So if you repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, you're saved. But again, there's a cost. Because we're living in rebellion to the world's standards, what the world thinks is right. And they don't like it. And they try to put the light out. They try to extinguish it with their darkness. You know, I share with you many times, you go to a bar, what's a bar like? Do they have these big bright lights in bars? No, it's dark. Why? So you can do your sin. Isn't that interesting? But I'll tell you what, if you put on bright lights, what would happen? People would flee. Have you ever talked with someone about Jesus? And people flee. That's what happens sometimes, right? It's just the way it is. The light goes on and exposes their darkness and they don't like it. But I tell you what, God's word does not return back void or empty. It accomplishes in the heart what he sent it to do. I love that about our God. You know, I got an email from a woman who was up in Upper Michigan and found one of the little rocks that Diane paints and puts Bible verses and puts our website on it. And she sent me an email message that they were up hiking through Upper Peninsula of Michigan and found one of our rocks. Not by luck, not by random chance happening, God ordained. And it said it caused me to look up Bible verses, and I was like, wow, God, you're amazing. You're an amazing God. Who would have thought, you know, so far away, hidden, well, not hidden, but on a mountain somewhere, and just happened to walk by and find it. That's our God. We got to count the cost. When you shine for Jesus, it gets harder and harder because the world doesn't like what they're hearing. Now here, think about this. What don't they like? Do you ever think about that? Okay, we stand up for life, right? The unborn. We stand up for marriage. We stand up for family. We stand up for that we're all part of the human race. It doesn't matter what shade of our skin color is. We're all human. We stand up for all these things, and the world hates us. Why? Because you turn from God, and God gives you over, Paul said in Romans, to a debased mind, to do debased things. And now we're seeing the fruit of that. I shouldn't say fruit, because that's just the works of that kind of lifestyle, turning from God. We have to count the cost. You know, you don't go into battle without counting the cost. And we as Christians need to count the cost. I think it's important. To be a disciple of Jesus, wow. Now, people get, they don't like to explain what it means to be a Christian. That, you know, now that if you give your life to Jesus, it's not going to just be real easy all the time. You're going to face conflict. Well, what if they don't want to hear that? What if they walk away? Well, then they're not a disciple of Jesus. That's just the reality. I want to know the cost before I come to a decision, don't you? I mean, I think that's important. But I can't tell you how awesome it is to serve the living God. When I look at all he has done in my life and really the life of this church and just seeing the things that he does, it's an amazing journey, isn't it? Is it always easy? No, it's not. It is not. You know, a lot of times during the week, my golf games are interrupted. It's unbelievable. I don't get it, but. So Joshua gives him all this, right? God's a jealous God, man. If you go back on your commitment, you're going to face some judgment here. And they said, no, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua doesn't just let them get away with that. He says, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. Okay, you guys made this commitment. Understand it. And they said, we're going to serve the Lord. The Lord our God will serve, and his voice we're going to obey. So the authentication of commitment, counting the cost, and it leads us really to our last point, the confirmation of the commitment, making or marking the covenant. Look at verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had brought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance for the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that belonged to Phinehas, his son, which was given to him in the mountains of Ephraim. So look at the progression that we've seen here. Joshua reminded them how God brought forth the Jewish people and established them in the land of Canaan. He was faithful, and what God promised to them, he brought to pass. And Joshua did this to remind them of all that God had done for them, and thus the logical thing to do was to serve them, to serve the Lord, because he loves them and cares for them. And Joshua told them, you got to choose this day who you're going to serve. No matter what you guys do, I'm going to serve the Lord, he said. But you have to make a decision. And they agreed. They agreed to serve the Lord, but I don't think they understood fully the cost, because they're still serving foreign gods, these idols. Joshua tells them, put them away, guys. Make your commitment sincere. And Joshua was establishing this covenant now that they said they were going to keep it. And this large stone that was set up was a stone of witness, a testimony of this covenant that the children of Israel made with the Lord. And it's kind of interesting, because archaeologists that were excavating this area in Shechem have uncovered this huge limestone pillar, which may be the remembrance stone that Joshua put up. Kind of interesting. So the confirmation of the commitment, making this covenant. Now, there's a few things here that I want to summarize before I get to the end. Joshua dies at the age of 110. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. In other words, his godly influence and the influence of these leaders affected the entire nation. And Joshua then is buried in the land of his inheritance, the land that God promised to give to the children of Israel. Now, also we're told that the bones of Joseph from Egypt, they carried and buried in the promised land. Think about 40 years in the wilderness. I'm not sure who was in charge of those bones those 40 years, but kudos to them, right? I mean, I forget where I put my car keys. Can you imagine? 40 years plus probably another 20-some years before the body of Joseph or the bones of Joseph are buried. Interesting. Joseph died in Egypt when the children of Israel were in bondage down there. But he believed by faith that God was going to bring them into the promised land, the land of Canaan. What happened? He brought Joseph into the promised land, just as he promised. Wow. I love that. And now the death of Joshua and then Eleazar. Many feel Phinehas completed these last six verses here in Joshua. But here's a chapter closing. The next generation is going to carry on the work of God. And tragically, as we're going to see as we get into the book of Judges next week, how quickly people turn from the Lord because what was known of God wasn't passed on to future generations. It wasn't important to them. Compromise and complacency drew them away. And the book of Judges is a very sad book, but there's so many lessons in there. I thought we should probably go into it. And then we'll probably on Sunday mornings after Judges, we need a bright spot. We'll probably go to the book of Ruth, which is really an exciting book. Some good things in there. There's good things in Judges, but I'll tell you what, the end of Judges, man, you're like, oh my gosh, how could a nation do that? And then I look at our own nation and go, oh, this is how you do it. So, and I guess what I want to summarize here quickly is we need to love the Lord. And, you know, loving the Lord is really fearing him, not in like, oh my gosh, he's going to hurt me. No, it's reverential fear, respecting him. Why? Because we're his children. It's that respect. Now, if you don't know the Lord, yeah, you should have fear of the Lord because judgment. The solution to that is come to saving faith. You know, Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments, his praises endure forever. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. You know, fear of the Lord works in us and then through us. In the things we do, the things we say, it's a transformation process. And the more you love the Lord, you'll find the things of God manifested in your life. That's just the way it works. And you pass it on to the next generation. Now, we began this in-depth study of Joshua over a year ago. Wow. I had to look back and see how long it's been. But what a blessed journey. I don't know. I've been blessed by it. The Lord really gave me some powerful, powerful lessons I needed to hear. And I guess, you know, as you go over this book, if you want to live that victorious Christian life, there's just one word. It's called obedience. Just obey the Lord. It's as simple as that. Moment by moment, day by day, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. That if we love the Lord, we're going to show him that we love him by obeying him. You know, I guess just put it all together. The secret to victory is obedience, and the secret of obedience is loving God. And I'll close with these words from Joshua. I pray that these are the words that flow from our lives. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? Choosing, committing, and serving. Let's do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing journey through the book of Joshua, Lord, the lessons you taught us, how important. And Lord, do we remember every single one? No. But I truly believe they nourish our heart. I don't remember what my wife cooked for me 7 years ago or probably last week. But here's the thing. I know that the food that she gave to me is sustaining my life and keeping me healthy, just as I take in your word. I may not remember every single message or study, but I know it's that important for my life. That's going to nourish me. It's going to keep me healthy. And it's going to help me to walk in victory. And I thank you for that. Lord, bless the people. Encourage them as they go forth this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.